meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Do I sound like hell?
Yeah, it's just whatever.
All right.
Keep going.
Addiction medicine specialist Alanis Morissette is our guest tonight.
We're going to hear a few minutes on what a great studio we have here.
No. Okay. I'm going to be a pro tonight.
All right.
I wore a nice shirt with a collar on it.
I'm shocked.
Big fan of Alanis's. Saw the, we've never met, I don't believe.
Mm-mm.
And it seems like we should have crossed paths at some point, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the same circles and venues and things like that. But big fan of your work.
Thanks.
Saw the Behind the Music.
Hmm?
Yeah, I get all those shows confused, but learned all about you.
Okay, in the one sort of short 1 hour period.
Yeah, I figure I'm an expert.
That's right. About as deep as he gets into somebody.
Well, Behind the Music is a good choice.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. They start at the beginning.
I'm gonna have to do one just so he can get to know me, and I'm here every night with him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's make that one about 6 to 8 minutes, though, Drew.
Like I said, you can know me anyway.
They use the same pictures 3 or 4 times within the course of the story that they do, which always looks a little cheap. But, and I don't know how that stuff works. And we'll get into the new CD and the DVD and all that kind of stuff, but we're kind of free-flowing around here. So, like, when they do something like that, do they come to you and ask you for footage or archives, pictures of you from high school?
They do a bit of both. They do their own research, and then they ask to get some from me, but I don't have a lot of it myself, so they'd have to do some homework and get to the family and stuff.
Did you cooperate?
Some of it, yes, and some of it, you know, they got their own information, and they were pretty cool. Behind the Music's pretty cool in terms of not overstepping.
Is it sort of the feeling that they're going to do this with or without my help, so I might as well help them a little bit so they don't go too far south?
Some of the people they speak with, obviously you have no control over what they say.
Right.
So, you know, that part you don't have control over, but in the case of that show, I think they want, you know, contribution from the person themselves. And
well, I was saying to Drew last night on this show that I thought sometimes you got more crap than you deserved as an artist, or maybe even as a human being. Like,
we're actually trying to figure out what that was, though.
We're trying to figure it out. That you struck me. And I'm guessing you too, Drew, is talented, attractive, and sort of a not probably shouldn't have as much, I don't know, controversy swirling around you as maybe you do or did.
Mm.
Do you wonder about that?
I know that how I live and the kinds of things that interest me have triggered a lot of people.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, it's weird because I don't even really hear that part.
No, yeah.
What is it that you hear then?
We couldn't figure it out.
It was like sort of generally you got more crap than you deserved. you know what I'm saying?
Said maybe because you sort of made a transition into a certain from one kind of music to another, and people have got it like, how dare you?
Yeah, so. Also, just, I think expressing emotions that had been typically viewed as emotions that were to be hidden or to be apologized for.
Yes.
I even watched myself sometimes in footage, even kind of had a clip that I watched, and I understand how certain emotions that I sing about unapologetically can
make people react.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally see that.
Yeah, but it's artistic license, and also you're not calling anyone. I mean, it's not as divisive as many lyrics are, songs are at all. I mean, you're not talking about
Eminem takes less grief.
Right.
In a way.
In a certain way.
And he's also not a woman.
I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's expressing emotions that have been typically embraced, I think, in men, which is specifically like anger, confusion, frustration, raging against the proverbial machine. And these were things not typically embraced in women. And certainly I'm not the only one doing it. But
yeah, I was going number one, ironically, into the urinal, which is
as opposed to the sink where you normally go.
Well, no, I meant as a man, a woman does not use the urinal.
I see.
I was staring down at at myself as I was urinating, and I always try to hit the holes.
That's nice.
Right.
You would do this, too, because you're an artist like myself.
I would do it, absolutely.
Yeah, there's like 14 holes in the urinal. Your job is to see if you can hit each one of them in a, right. in a sort of random order.
OCD moment.
It gives you something to do, because if they don't put the sports page up over it, you got nothing for, you know, 45 seconds.
They put newspaper
right.
in Friday.
Yeah.
But I was thinking with Alanis, I was thinking, you know, maybe she does get a little more crap because she's a woman. And then I thought, I don't normally think that way. And I usually try to make the counter argument to that. But as I was urinating, I thought, yeah.
That's so big of you.
Yeah.
I'm
it's kind
so
of medium
proud of you,
with
actually.
You. Well, I wasn't thinking big when I was looking down. But I think you've gotten some crap for being a woman.
That's awesome.
And being sort of
angry.
Yeah, being angry. Yeah. Most times women express sensuality and they get
or
sort
sentimentality.
Of, and they get left alone for those two things. But this, the anger emotion, people seem to have difficulty with.
Anger or unrest in those areas. Mm-hmm. Women are, you know, nurturers, quote unquote, and these things. But
let's talk about how that manifests itself in the latest CD, Feast on Scraps. Is that, I mean, I know you do change quite a bit from CD to CD.
Should we hear a song?
I'm right in the middle of a hard-hitting interview here.
Okay.
All right, quiet down over there. Shut Drew's mic. How would you classify this latest CD?
These songs were written at the same time as Under Rug Swept, so it was sort of one giant era of my starting to write and not being able to stop. So it kind of encapsulates 2 years ago where I was, and these songs were songs that I would have loved to put on the record, but there were too many songs, too much information, and I myself was overwhelmed to the point where I didn't want to have it all in one place. So, but these songs on this record, when I listen to it with as much objectivity as I can get a year or two later, is they're songs that I feel very empowered by listening to. It's a CD that is so not precious to me, not that any of them have been, but I feel very comforted by this CD. Like I'd be okay in the company of myself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's heavy, but it makes sense.
Good work.
All right, so why don't we, and there's also a DVD that's also included in this. And then what do you do? Do you charge double, or how do you do that?
I don't even know how much these CDs are.
It's got to be more if you got it. I mean, a DVD alone is like $25, right?
And is it the DVD of you performing some of these songs?
Yeah, we did a tour for this record called Toward Our Union Mended. And so it has that tour. We shot it in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And then footage of making Under Rug Swept and Feast on Scraps. And then the last 2 years just kind of randomly shooting stuff behind the scenes on the tour and just in general and kind of editing that all together.
How long is the DVD?
It's a long one. It's 2.5 hours.
Wow.
So the old pause button may serve you well if you so choose.
All right, so I think we'll hear something off of the new CD, and I guess we'll take some calls first, and we'll figure out what song we're going to play, all right? Drew, who you got? Line 6 here?
6, yeah.
All right, let's talk to Sarah, who's 19. Sarah?
Hi.
What's up?
I have a problem with, like, being physical with guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a couple boyfriends, but I've kissed them, like, and I can't, like, they always want to do more, but I'm, like, afraid to or something.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah.
Anything happened to you growing up that made you sort of aversive to sex?
No, nothing really. I just know that my parents never really showed affection to each other, but
that's about it. Nothing really happened to you?
Probably not enough.
Or absolutely nothing happened to you?
No, nothing at all.
Nothing will happen to you. Is there any sort of religious value you're clinging to that you want to protect, or?
No.
Have you not had any opportunities to go beyond that?
No, I have. I don't know, I'm, like, sort of afraid to.
Do you just not want to?
No, I do. I, like, plan on trying something, but I don't know. I just don't know why I can't do anything.
And the kinds of the two guys that you mentioned you've been with, are they people that you feel like you could be safe enough to say that you feel afraid to them?
No, I want to do stuff with them, but I just can't.
No, I don't think, say that again. I don't think she heard you.
When you're with the two people that you mentioned and you said you were apprehensive and couldn't go further, did you feel safe enough with them to express your apprehension with them?
Yeah.
Did you tell them?
Yeah.
You told them how you felt?
Yeah, I told them that I didn't feel, like, good about doing stuff.
What'd they do?
They just said okay or whatever.
How long were these relationships?
One was about 3 months, and I just recently am, like, dating a guy right now.
All right, so these were pretty short relationships. They weren't, like, deep, long-standing boyfriends.
No.
Yeah. And maybe really the issue here is you didn't have any model for intimacy. What you're describing between your parents was something pretty empty.
People screw like rabbits when their parents don't get along or don't
aversive.
Even like each other.
Or they're aversive. They can go either way.
We never talk to those
people.
We
really don't. That's true.
Do you have some problem about, like, being naked in front of a guy?
Not really. I never had a chance to, really, but I...
But you have no image problems?
No, not really.
Hmm. Are you on any medication?
No.
Lesbian?
No.
Gemini?
She just needs a relationship. She needs a relationship.
Yeah.
She's 19, she's at the cusp. Bad, you know, empty parenting. The relationship's empty.
Yeah.
No model for intimacy. Yeah, she got to figure it out for herself.
Well, and also, here's the thing, too. I mean, 90% of... the people we speak to are the way they are because of a reason, some pre-existing thing, something that happened in the past.
Trauma.
But then we speak to 10%, and they're just that way. I mean, there's, you know, if 90% of females have lost their virginity by 18 or 19 years old, there is going to be 10% that's going to stay virgin until 22, and you just may be in that group.
Just because.
Yeah.
But you also sound kind of depressed, and what's going on?
No, not really.
You angry?
Your parents what?
My parents got divorced, like, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that can affect you. That can make you still freaked out about relationships and intimacy. And you said,
were
they violent
or
anything? Was it a tumultuous relationship?
What?
Were they violent with each other or anything real awful?
No, just normal, like, arguments, but that's it.
All right. A lot. Well, hey, Sarah.
Have a relationship.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. We're done with you. Don't call back anymore, right?
Have a relationship. It's okay.
All right.
Okay?
I can tell she was, like, angry or depressed or tired or...
We need more time, I think.
Confused.
Yeah, but...
We don't get it.
I didn't
want
to spend more time with her. Amira?
Hello?
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
I was calling because I had sort of, like, a tumultuous childhood with my mom. She was just crazy. And... she kind of hasn't really been in my life for the past few years, and my problem is that she wants to be in my life now, and I don't really know what to do, and she's been using drugs, and...
she's currently using?
I'm not sure.
Was she using when you were growing up?
No.
Was she an alcoholic?
No, she was not an alcoholic. She was using drugs over the past year, and she went to rehab this past summer.
Okay. And she's sober now?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. Well, listen, one of the rules of thumb is to support people in their sobriety. Certainly, if she were still using and you didn't want to be in her life, that would be reasonable. You should tell her why. But if she's making an attempt at sobriety, trying to make amends, reestablishing relationships, it's time to do that. You could help her.
Why'd you guys split up?
She just hasn't really grown up to this day. And she never really wanted to be a mom and never really wanted the responsibilities of that.
So you're angry at her?
Yeah.
That's good. No one ever admits that. I'm glad you admitted that.
It's
a weird reason to sort of break things off. I mean, you have sort of a no-count, immature mom, but it's weird to have some years go by without having contact with her.
Well, I've had some contact with her off and on, but this past year I just have been kind of sick of her.
All right, look, is she going to family meetings of any type?
No.
All right, is she has a sponsor, she's working steps, she's in the program, right?
She does not have a sponsor. She refused to do the program after she got out of rehab.
Then forget it. Then you're not part of her life. Don't put yourself through that pain.
You got any kids?
No, I don't.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Bringing her back will be a world of pain. And tell her, if she gets a sponsor, works the program, and has some, you know, some success, a few months from now, you'll be back in her life. But not when she's not working the program. It'd be very painful for you.
Just treat her like someone you didn't like from high school. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm a big advocate of cutting your parents loose. Drew goes to his folks' house once a week. Mom kicks his ass around the yard for half an hour, and then he comes back and complains.
Wait till you have grandkids. Kids. And you,
kids?
You need...
Well, you need them because you don't want to shell out all the dough for the nannies and the babysitters,
you're grateful,
right?
Grateful when your parents are grandparents. You're very grateful.
Why?
Because you want your kids to have grandparents. You want them to have
community.
That.
Yeah. But even if they're sort of loony and
whatever they had been to you, they won't be to your kids.
They're better parents as grandparents, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone's better when they're... Second time around. Yeah, you're just...
When they're over 65, something just clicks and they become a great parent.
You're sitting around just waiting for the Grim Reaper. It mellows you out a little bit.
You also, know all the, good. Oh, my God.
All those awful hormones are shutting down. Things that make us so terrible as human beings.
Well, you know, the thing about being old is, like, you got nothing to prove.
Yeah,
guys start wearing jumpsuits. Women start walking around in house coats and slippers. They just don't care. It's like, who cares? I got nothing to prove. You don't have guys. You know, there's no 75-year-old guy who wants you to know he can still kick your ass. You eliminate that from guys. You eliminate, better, like, three-quarters of the a-hole in most guys. You just eliminate that part.
Jack LaLanne, remember?
Jack LaLanne, yeah.
He was still...
Yeah, he's that 10% that we talked about earlier. Ed?
Yes, hi.
You're 48?
I'm 48, and I'm an avid listener. I love your show.
Great.
I listened about a year ago, and Dr. Drew, I just got to say, just listening to your show, I really learned a lot about myself, my family, because we had a lot of problems in our own family with abuse, and I had questions, you know, why'd my mom meet with my dad, just kind of looking at it all. And it really makes a lot of sense. But my question is for Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm.
I have muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And it cut my guitar. I'm a songwriter. I used to love music. I still do, and I love you. I think you're so multi-talented. And mm-hmm. I keep abreast of the music, you know, even today, all the, you know, up-to-date bands, Dave Matthews, Matchbox 20, all the alternative music, and I think you're a great songwriter,
thanks,
singer, and I still love writing songs,
mm-hmm.
and even though I can't play anymore, you know, I write poetry, I write songs, sometimes I write, you know, maybe four or five a week, and I'm just getting together, putting a demo together, going to a recording studio, I'm going to have musicians just put some simple, you know, work to my songs, made out a simple demo.
Cool.
And I guess my question is, do you think there's any, you know, what are the chances of by sending these demos out to different record companies, publishing companies, of having them just, you know, hear a song and somewhere along the line getting it published? Because it's all I've ever wanted to do. I still work. I have a full-time position, but I've never been satisfied. I just love to write.
No. Ed, it was going to be 5%, but until you slipped in the all I ever wanted to do part, and muscular dystrophy, I think we got to be up around 90, right?
Oh, I don't think that'll 90%. Make much of a difference.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
No, I mean in Alanis' answer, not really.
Oh,
not in reality. Go ahead, Alanis, tell
him. I'm trying to explain why I can't play the guitar anymore. You know, all I can do is, like, write the lyrics. And
how do you do the music part?
It's in my head. I record it on a tape recorder.
And do you just make the noise into the tape?
I just sing.
That's what I used to do when I was, you know, 10 years old and I didn't play piano very well. I would just sing the parts.
So you do, like what song is this? Wah, 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 wah.
Mm-hmm.
What song is that, Ed?
I tried to remember that.
Oh, Ed, what kind of musician are you?
That song. He was probably not born yet,
you don't know
way.
Smoke on the Water?
Deep Purple.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
One you probably like. It.
Drew knows a Deep Purple song before you do, Ed?
That's scary.
I was not that much into the really hard stuff.
Oh, what are we talking for?
I wrote one I think you'd like. I just called it the other day. It's called Poontang Lake.
Poontang Lake?
All right.
Poontang Lake. It's just a little tongue-in-cheek thing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You should do greeting cards, too, Ed.
Oh, yeah, I can see I'm boring you.
All right, well, you are, but I don't think Alanis can give you a percentage on what the chances of your demos making it to a record executive and being bought are.
What is your goal? Is your goal to publish it so other people sing it? Or?
Yes, because I couldn't do it myself.
Well, if you share songs with, you know, many different publishing companies, there may be some of them that connect with it and feel like they could place it somewhere. Worse, an artist who doesn't write their own songs or a movie that may need these songs.
Just
sharing it, really, and seeing who connects with it. Because you don't want to force anything down someone's throat, in my opinion. You know, the best is when someone loves it enough to meet you halfway is my take on it.
What do you think the crappiest song ever written was that cracked the top 10?
Oof.
I got mine.
There's so many.
I got mine. I'm going to write mine
down.
See,
sometimes songs are so crappy that they're great.
Yeah, that's true with, like, Cruel to Be Kind or something by Nick Lowe or something like that, but not Not Maneater by Hall & Oates.
Is that yours?
I'd say so. I'd say so. Had to be a lot of coke going around those days, if you think about
you
it.
You mean to the record programmers, had to be the radio program.
Had to be some payola going on. Yeah. No way a song like that gets up into the top 10.
But in the early 80s, certain songs in the 80s, you go, huh?
Yeah, what was that all about?
But I used to love them, so what was I all about at that time?
Yeah, but Maneater?
I loved Maneater.
No way.
She's a Maneater?
Yeah.
Come on, it's the first feminist song.
You should break that song down lyrically, one day.
I will. I'll do an acoustic
when you're
version.
Taking a long bus ride. Just really break that down and just take a good, hard look at Maneater.
He was digging her because she was a Maneater, which is a whole, he's progressive, really.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going, shut her down. She's a Maneater.
Yeah.
Guys that are into that, though, a certain thing.
My theory is with the Hall & Oates were gay and singing songs about chicks as a form of compensation. Actually, Drew just wrote that down and gave it to me. But, when they're all sweaty, staring at each other on the record cover and stuff, they coming in next week?
Yeah, they'll be here next week.
All right. Great. Oops. We'll take a break.
All right.
We'll take a break, and then we'll hear a little something off the Alanis Morissette new CD. And Trouble Master. All right, we got a nice tub masturbation call after this. Oh, man. I was wrong. This song rocks.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's got a great generic sax solo right in the middle of it that was in every goddamn 80s song ever done. But it's... Oh, there it is.
Is it really a saxophone or just a keyboard?
No, it is.
It could be a keyboard.
No, that's a sax. I saw it on the video. Guy was swinging it around like a rag doll. Oh, here's where it kicks. Yeah. Lean and hungry type. I like when he goes... The world's wild. Woo!
Takes me back so strangely. Isn't that 1982, right? Would you say 81?
Could be.
I was in medical school then.
I was seven.
Thank you. I feel much better.
I was just beginning my carpet cleaning career. Yeah.
This must be great music to play behind the, the back of the van. Did you enter the Edwards Air Force Base?
Yeah, I didn't want to kill myself enough driving with this Waldo out to the Mojave Desert to clean Edwards Air Force Base. I had to listen to this junk on the radio. Now listen, how much coke were the program directors doing? I mean, the radio companies must have just dropped off huge sacks of cocaine in attaché cases filled with money to play this crap, right? It had to be.
Our consciousness level lapped everything up that was.
You got to remember, we were just coming off the 70s. We were stunned. We were bewildered.
That stupid. No, but remember all the payola in radio.
I agree with you, but just
this had to be part of that.
What were you listening to in 81?
Graham Parker.
Okay.
And John Hyatt.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. See, that was a cool answer.
You're so hip.
Yeah, I know. Alanis Morissette is our guest tonight. Big Hall & Oates fan. Probably that was actually her off the new CD. An amazing rendition.
Quickly recorded it.
Yeah. Cover this one. I mean, you could do this in concert, couldn't you?
I will.
Yeah, you could cover this.
It'd be great.
Yeah, when do we get to that? Have we got to the sax solo yet?
It's 2002, so I was saying he's a Maneater.
Right. Yeah, here it is. Here comes the big sax solo. This is artistry. I mean, this is like, you guys know Bird.
This reminds me
right?
Of your,
Yeah, this is Charlie Parker.
This reminds me of Taboo 2.
This is really... This
Taboo 2 and this, neck and neck.
It wouldn't cut it in a porn, Yeah, all right. Please, you wonder why those guys aren't working anymore. Down playing bad casinos out in Laughlin. This is why. This is where they deserve to be. They never should have been. They never should have sold records. That's what I say. This song's junk. They should be punished for eternity for this song. Thank you. All right, so...
careful if you play music he doesn't like.
Well, there's some songs you to purgatory. From my past that he may be ripping apart.
Yeah, but you were 14. These guys were in their 30s when they did this junk. Imagine you cranking this stuff out in your 30s. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, go.
Here we go.
All right.
Angie.
All right. You know the other thing that amazes me too.
High school football?
No. I mean, we're going to phones. But you know, when you're a kid, you don't know. Like when you're 13 and you're listening to this junk, you don't realize these guys are in their 30s. I mean, this sounds good to us because we're 13. Like when you listen to Kiss doing "Lick It Up," and they're singing "Lick It Up," and all these guys are 41 and they're singing "Lick It Up." Like it sounds all right to you when you're 12.
Yeah.
But imagine being 41 and sitting down and penning "Lick It Up" as a musician. It's fairly retarded, right?
I'd rather not imagine it, actually.
Thank you. Angie?
Hello.
Hi, Angie.
You're 15. What's up?
Okay. First, I'm going to tell you guys my secret about the bathtub. But then you have to let me say something to Alanis, okay?
You tell us your secret.
Okay. I'm calling in regards to the girl who called a couple of nights ago. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Okay, she was calling about this, and she was saying that in the bathtub, she would get burnt rather than, whatever, get off, okay?
No. She would kept using hotter and hotter water.
Yeah, hotter water. Okay. Yeah. So I think about a year ago, okay, I feel sickened by telling the world this, but I think about a year ago I was introduced into the whole bathroom masturbation crap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My secret is it's not in the temperature of the water. It's in the pressure of the water, the amount of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If she's listening, that's all I wanted to tell her.
All right, okay. So more pressure, right?
So this is to
a
all
sickening admission, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
What's that, Angie? Angie?
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, I said this is for all the girls who know they do it, but they don't have courage to talk about it. Yeah. Everybody will understand.
That's great. You're like Harriet Tubman for these women.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Now. What's the question for Lance?
Transparent.
Yeah, you're Rosa Parks. You're giving them a voice. That's amazing.
Pardon?
No, I don't want to get into that personal talk with Alanis, but do you understand what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Cool. That's awesome. I told you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
She was so busy writing while you were talking, Angie. I'm not sure if she heard all of it, but it's all down in her steno.
Sure. Got it. All right.
Okay. Cool. All right. But what I was going to say, dude, to Alanis, I'm a musician myself. Okay, I'll be 16 in a couple days. Ooh, age, whatever. But I listen to you all the time. I think you're really cool. I don't know. Just in general, I just want to say you're pretty cool. I'm just starting.
All right, that's enough. She loves you.
Thank you, Angie.
Yeah, she didn't have
Angie.
A question.
Right.
You're right.
That could have gone
on. Talk to her a little more.
On.
She would keep going.
If she has a question, I'll answer her.
I don't. She said in general. I just want to say you're pretty cool.
That's Hillary.
Wait, hold on a second, Angie.
Yeah.
You have a specific question.
I don't know. I think I...
All right.
There we go.
That's no. All right. See, one more call, hear song, or hear song and take calls.
Mm. One more call.
Drew says one more call.
No. Alex, right. 18.
Hey, how are you guys?
Yeah. Good.
Okay, so this is a deal. I'm getting a breast reduction in 2 weeks, and I was informed by the doctors, not to smoke or anything.
Smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, smoke cigarettes or marijuana or, anything.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if ingestion of marijuana is okay, like pot brownies or anything.
Eating it.
Why can't she smoke for those 2 weeks?
It's not a great idea when you go under general anesthesia.
Right.
So
why?
Cigarettes.
It's just, you want to clear your lungs. She's going to be a breathing machine while she's under general anesthesia, and if her airways are irritated, she can get pneumonia, bronchitis, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And pot causes chronic bronchitis much more so than even cigarettes do. So
you can eat pot, though.
Yeah, you can eat pot. It's an interesting question.
Well, because I know it sticks to, your fatty...
Yeah, no, Alex, this is actually something you should genuinely discuss with your surgeon. Because here's why.
Really?
Hey, he's doing the operating, for God's sake, and he needs to know what we're dealing with here. The fact is, if she stops, she'll have withdrawal, and that could be dangerous, and she'll get depressed and have a lot of...
2 weeks.
2 weeks is the most difficult interval with pot, and she'll have a lot of pain that'll be abnormal and won't be able to interpret what's pain, what's cravings. I actually think she should stay on the pot if she doesn't have any intentions to stop.
Well, why don't you
stay on it?
Let her eat it.
I'm saying that. I would do that, but that surgeon may have reasons for not wanting her to continue, or may have to adjust the anesthesia if she does that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it needs to be discussed.
All right.
Well, I know I'm not going to go through any withdrawals,
Alex, I promise you will.
I will.
If you're a daily pot smoker.
She's talking about eating it?
No, if you're a daily pot smoker and you stop, you will have a reaction.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to eat a pot brownie, then you're going to think about a surgeon taking a scalpel to your boobs, and you're going to freak out and jump through the window.
Or change your mind.
Well, let me ask you.
Yeah, and if you do, hey, what size are you?
I'm a 38 triple D.
Triple D.
Oh, for God's sake.
Always interested in how they go up to triple. And hey, I can never figure this goddamn bra thing out. You go from A to B and from B to C. But then from C, you go to D. And then from D, you go to double D and then triple D. Why not just go to E and just
keep
going?
Well, there is
going.
A Z. But then they have triple Fs and triple Qs. And
I know, but why keep... I mean, like, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it was a report card, you get, you know, you get an A, you get a B, you get a C. Mm-hmm. But then you wouldn't get a CC or a DD after that. You just go to the next letter that's above it or below it.
Yeah.
Why can't we do this with the bras?
Remember somebody tried to explain this to us, and I think the reason we're still confused is it no one adheres to any standard.
Well, there's no quadruple D. There's the double D.
Yeah.
You never even hear about the triple D.
I love that I'm learning about this from you guys.
Yeah.
You can get custom-made bras, like, they have them.
Right.
And they go and they measure you if I'm not, you know, quite an E or whatever.
Are you not quite an E? There is an E after triple D. And
there's like triple F, triple G.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And so you have back problems and necks?
I have back problems, and I'm pretty tiny, so.
Oh, my God, this is going to be great.
But okay,
what, tonight, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Well, let me just ask you this. Let's say that, you know, I'm not going to quit, because my surgery is December 17th.
Yeah.
So what if, you know, if I still eat the pop brownies like a week before, but I quit, you know, within that week.
I am telling you, you need to discuss this with your surgeon. It's a valid
Drew wants to be covered. It's not valid or significant.
If she has withdrawal, it's going to affect her pain control postoperatively and affect how she goes through the surgery.
Drew, you know this is nothing, but you should do it anyway.
No, I categorically, I really take exception to this. It is actually a rather serious issue.
Serious.
People doing drugs up to the point of surgery, the surgeon, the anesthesiologist need to know how to adjust.
Well, if you're taking it that day.
The pot stays in the system for a couple of weeks.
All right. Listen to Drew.
Thank you guys very much.
Listen, I cannot emphasize this is a serious issue. If you're taking a drug,
what about smoking pot?
They're making an issue with that in terms of the pulmonary function. But I make an issue with the metabolism of the drug and the sedating effects and the withdrawal and the pain control issues that are really going to be something if the people making decisions don't have all the variables in mind.
All right.
So
Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How big are you? How much you weigh?
I'm like 5'4" and like 120 pounds.
Wow, triple D's.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right, hey, take a picture before you do it, though, right?
All right, I'll be sure to send it to you guys.
Well, just for you and me.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, good times here, baby. All right.
What can you do?
Drew took a serious exception to what I was saying.
You were trying to minimize something important. And she's having trouble sort of...
I realize I shouldn't be undermining your semi-valid but not really points.
I'll back down if it's sort of...
I can beat you down on those things. But yes, during the break, I will.
Go ahead. Right. Let's take care of the song.
All right. This is off Alance's new CD.
This is a great segue, by the way.
Yeah, but you a-holes enjoy this crap, would you? I got to chew through a new a-hole. This one's called Simple Together.
You've been my golden best friend. Now with post-it minds at hand, I can't go to you for consolation, 'cause we're roughly limits during this transition. Thank you.
Feast on Scraps is the name of the CD. Simple Together, beautiful song from Alanis Morissette, who's in studio tonight. Also, if you get the CD, you will get a full, and I mean full-length DVD that comes with it. And the whole thing is available on the 10th of December, right? 5 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to go to break.
We do indeed.
And then we'll...
take some questions from us.
Yeah, question about working with Dave Matthews, and Alanis will answer that after this. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alanis Morissette has joined us tonight. And let's see. We'll hear something else off her new CD, Feast on Scraps, in the second hour, coming out on the 10th of December. And now we have a question for Alanis. Shelley?
Hi, I had a question for Alanis.
Right on.
Yeah, I wanted to know what your experience was like working with Dave Matthews Band on Before These Crowded Streets.
It was amazing. I met up with Dave when he was just recording the first part of that record in San Francisco. And then they were finishing it up, and he asked me to come to New York. They were doing music at Electric Lady, whatever that studio is, Electric Ladyland.
Ladyland, right.
Yeah.
Like the Jimi Hendrix
studio.
All those guys, yeah.
Great studio. Yeah. And I went in and sang, and Steve Lillywhite was producing, and it's just amazing to watch them in action, because I'd just been immersed in my own world. To step out of that and just be of service to someone else's vision was kind of fantasy to me.
Well, yeah. Do they jam a lot when they do their record their music? I mean, Dave Matthews, that is.
I didn't actually behold their process.
Oh, I thought you saw them doing their thing.
No, their tracks had been done already, so I was kind of the last minute
so
Betty.
You kind of added stuff like to Don't Drink the Water and
Spoon.
Yeah.
It was great, though.
That's my favorite part, like, I know whatever verse you come in Spoon.
It kills me. There's something intangible about that song that I love. It's such a beautiful song.
I think bassist, what's his name, wrote it, and... Oh, no, that's not Dreaming Tree. Never mind.
What was the last part? I missed what you said.
No, sorry. I thought that that his bassist had written that song, but it was actually Dreaming Tree.
Right.
You're calling from Vancouver?
Yeah.
What part of Canada are you from, Alanis?
I'm from Ottawa.
Where is that?
You're calling from Vancouver, Washington, or Vancouver?
Canada.
British Columbia, yeah.
Mm.
Vancouver's great.
Adam?
Yeah.
Considering tomorrow's last night of Hanukkah, I was wondering if you could sing the dreidel song.
Oh, is tomorrow the last night?
Yeah.
Are you Jewish?
Jeez, I gotta get my bush up.
No.
No, but I went to like a hippie school and we had to learn all the songs that...
All the denominations?
Yeah.
Little Houston Smith.
It's sort of a cross between you gotta really like other cultures and not like your own that much. It's kind of... That's the part they don't finish the sentence with, but it's kind of like, you should learn all these songs. And I just remember, I had a little dreidel. Drew, you know the dreidel song.
I made it out of clay.
And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I will play.
Oh,
play.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel,
I made it out of clay. It just kind of keeps going.
Yeah.
The Jews didn't get too complicated with their folk songs back then. They were smart, though. They didn't want to be layered like Maneater, full of all that crazy subtext and messages. They just, you know, song about a top that was spun around.
Good times.
The things on it. And are you, what are you? Are you Jewish?
I'm a quarter Jewish and Catholic and new spirituality, which is kind of, you know, takes the gems out of all the religions, really, that thread of continuity that permeates all of them and kind of extracts that. That's kind of what I am. I don't really adhere to any one religion.
Good. Me neither. Kenneth?
Yes.
You're 23?
I am.
What's up?
I just was wondering about my girlfriend's fantasies and whether they're healthy or not or whatever, or should I care?
What are they?
You seem to care.
She likes to play out a lot of role-playing where she's being raped, or sometimes she'll pretend to be very young, and she won't specify how young, but she wants to be molested.
Mm-hmm. And do you get to watch? That was a joke.
The horrible thing about those sorts of fantasies are usually in people who have been abused and have been overpowered.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes the only way they can feel sexual. If they really are intimate with someone, they shut down. They become sexually anorectic. And when it's someone that they feel sort of less attached to and are able to sort of act out these fantasies, they get angry and resentful, and they feel ashamed, and all kinds of those awful feelings are sort of generated from participating in that act. So it's a catch-22. She can't be sexual unless she has these things, but when she is sexual with them, it makes her feel awful.
How old is she?
She's 22.
Has she gotten into any of this stuff with you? I mean, her past or anything like that?
Well, she's hinted at something that happened to her many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't get explicit about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if I, you know, if it's my place to ask for details.
Sounds like a very intimate guy, doesn't he, see?
So sweet.
Yeah, but he's going to put the ski mask on, come into the bedroom window, tie her up in effort.
That's right.
That's considered well within his rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know your place, Kenneth.
So,
is she freaking you out a little bit?
Well, if that's what gets her off, I'll get into it too. But then I kind of worry about, how much should I get into it,
Well, it's... The die is cast in this relationship, I suspect. It's going to be tough.
Unless she is willing to look at some of it, is my guess, is it might be a little tough for you to do something on her behalf.
Right. There's really nothing he can do.
Let me tell you what the next step is, though. She does a little investigating, has a little therapy, and no sex.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Yeah,
for a minute
anorexia.
Or two.
Yeah, so the sexual anorexia is what happened. They flip back and forth.
Right.
And if she actually starts caring about Kenneth, that's when the anorexia sets in. The intimacy sort of repels sexuality for a while.
For a while.
How long? Did you do that, Alanis?
I so relate to what you're saying right now.
Really?
I've had experiences with it myself. It depends on how willing she is to, in my take, how willing she is to look at it. Because if there's an unwillingness to look at any of this, your hands may be tied in terms of being her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But if she's willing to look at it, my take is that this could be a really healing journey for both of you if you're both up for it.
Yeah, but Kenneth is like, he's 23, he's horny.
How old are you?
23.
Works at a muffler shop. He's
it
not
depends on how
juries.
Into her you are and how patient you are, really.
Do you love her, Kenneth?
Yeah.
You do?
We've been together for two and a half years.
But you're thinking about marriage?
Well, that's an awfully serious word,
maybe a little too early to be talking
about
that.
That's good. Good instinct.
All right.
Cool.
All right, so see if you can...
Talk with her about it.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, all of you.
All right, Kenneth. Good luck.
All right.
There we go.
All right. Good luck. He's not doing any talking. No. He's going to just do a little ass slapping and a little boozing, and it'll be
right
back
on
it. No,
that's you.
I know our callers. But although there's a chance for Kenneth because he doesn't go by Ken. Any guy named Ken who goes by Kenneth probably has a sensitive side. Drew wants to take a break. Oh, and he's right. All right. Alanis Morissette's in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alanis Morissette is in our studio tonight. Nice to have a big name in the studio, beside Drew. I was out to dinner tonight, and I said at a certain point, I said I got to go to work. And I said, are you going to the radio? There was some guys from MTV, and I said, yeah. And they said, who's on the radio tonight? And I said with pride, Alanis Morissette. Normally, I say, you remember not the neighbor who lived directly across the street from the Charles in Charge house, but the one kitty corner. But this was great. I was like, Alanis Morissette. I was very smooth about it.
It's a fun little name-dropping moment.
Yeah. It felt good.
Cool.
Big name. But, I didn't make a big deal out of it.
Right.
Yeah, you're cool.
That's the cool part of name-dropping.
Yeah.
You got to pretend like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which it actually doesn't.
Yeah. Then I said we're having... getting the Beatles back together on Sunday, and then I think that's when they knew. Hillary?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, my mom has this fiance, and I just turned 18 last month, and they want me out of the house. We moved into an apartment so that she could live with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he's very, very controlling. Like, I was sick one day to my stomach, and he disconnected the phone, disconnected the cable, put, like, a toothpick in the door of their bedroom and padlocked it, and, you know, left me there.
Mm-hmm. I understand. What was he afraid you were going to do?
How'd the toothpick keep you in?
Well, because if I would have gone in the room, then the toothpick would have been on the ground. And they would have known that I had gone in the bedroom to look for the phone cord or whatnot.
But he padlocked it.
Yeah. But if I'd have broken the door, per se.
Oh,
you know, it was a doorknob with, like, a lock. With, like, a key.
All right, so it wasn't padlocked.
Was he afraid you were going to do?
I have no idea, and it's been like this. And so he went, and there was one night I drank one of his Frappuccinos, and he kicked me out.
This guy sounds like a great
I mean, it's
guy.
Really, really awful.
Yeah, but let me tell you what's going on, because, listen, I've had step-parents. My sister hated everybody. This is never going to work. Never. You just got to get out of there.
Is this guy doing speed or anything?
No.
But see, we don't know, because he keeps me and my little sister locked out. So I came back into the house that I've been living in, because it was in an apartment that we had physically moved out of. So I came back to the house with my grandparents, but my sister's still stuck there. And then, you know, I don't, is this going to affect her?
Sure.
Is this going to affect me?
You sound like you're 18, you know, you sort of making adult choices here. No, I mean, it's not going to be a good thing.
What's going to affect you is your screwball mom, who was with you for the last 18 years, not this idiot.
Right.
You know, but the thing that bothers me the most is my mom has always been there, because my father died when I was young.
Ugh.
And then all of a sudden, it's like she's gone.
Yeah,
you
but your mom, why did she hook up with this idiot?
Okay, he's I got to explain this. He's an Alaskan crab fisherman. Like, the hardest, you know, the most dangerous job in the world. So he was only here for 3 weeks when they met.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 months ago.
If he's an Alaskan crab fisherman, what the hell is he doing in Florida?
Chasing the elusive Alaskan crab that they migrate.
Or maybe the magnetic pull of the
Spluzer
to Florida.
Imagine what this guy's cuticles smell like. Just close your eyes and pretend you're smelling his cuticles right now. Malt liquor.
Barnacles.
And langostino. Okay. Let me say this. If you would have spoken to my sister when she was 18 about her stepdad or her stepmom, she would have woven horrible, horrible tales. I'm not saying that they're untrue. If you talk to them, you get another story. Either way, you will not be able to reconcile this.
She has her grandparents to run away to. That's fine.
Mm. Well,
worry about her sister and maybe appeal to your grandparents.
I understand the sister part.
My mother owns 58% of this house.
Of the grandparents' house?
Yeah, because we've been living with them, because my mom is disabled. She has one leg. She had cancer when she was younger. So my mom owns 58%, and my grandparents did that so that if something had happened to them, it would cover our butts. My mom owns 58% of the house, and now what she wants to do is get me out of here, and then I'm halfway through my senior year.
You got to go away to college. Oh, boy.
I mean,
How are you doing in school?
I do well. I mean,
Have you applied to colleges?
But right now, my academics are suffering because he wouldn't let me do my homework.
Homework.
He didn't enable me from having any type of computer, because when you take the advanced classes, you have to type up things and whatnot for papers.
Will he let you go to the library?
I couldn't leave the house. They say I'm 18, but I had no rights. I would have to be home at 6:30 when I had band
practice. All right, you never got any trouble for...
No, I've never had... I mean, the worst thing I've ever gotten is detention for tardies. I've never been in trouble. I've always made really good grades. All my teachers like me.
Hold on a second. What about your mom? She's been there your whole life.
Everything. I'm in band. She's never missed a football game.
No, but why is she suddenly such a mess?
Because whenever Dave and her are in the same room, she doesn't speak. It's always him. It seems like...
I know, but we're asking this saint of a woman, this one-legged saint known as your mother, who's been great and there for you and looking after you after your dad's untimely death and all that kind of stuff, is now just sitting back idly while the Gordon's fisherman kicks your ass around a two-bedroom apartment? No, there's something wrong with that.
Is she drinking now? Or is she doing drugs?
She has started to... She drank a little before, but only on occasion. And now there's always liquor in the apartment.
She's smoking more.
I mean,
smoking more cigarettes or pot?
Yes, more cigarettes. She's never been into drugs. I mean, other than when she was younger.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah, well, no.
No, when she was younger, because she was in the hospital.
She had her leg amputated.
So she got opiate addicted.
So
That's biology keeps her going.
Hold on. I got to talk to the crew here for a second. I'm going to translate all this. The mom isn't the saint that Hillary's made her out to be. I'm sure she did the best she could under the circumstances, but she's no saint. But she's being sainted, and this guy's being deified because that's the way people do. Yeah. There's not a lot of gray area. Mm. I'm sure this guy's no picnic.
Yeah.
I'm sure. On the other hand, if you talk to him, he'd probably tell you Hillary's out of control or whatever. Yeah. Now, he's not a great guy. Mom doesn't seem like she's going to step up, pardon the pun, and do anything about this. And Hillary, unfortunately, I think just has to sort of weather the storm. Mm. Again, another pun because he's a crab fisherman. Lay low, keep out of this guy's crosshairs, spend as much time she can at school, at drill team practice or band practice.
Start planning her
escape. Grandparents, get the grades up, use the school library, do all this stuff, get your grades going, and then go far away to college one day. That's about it.
And if things, you can get the sister in with the grandparents, too, that'd be a good thing.
If things really get ugly, you got to call social services.
Yep, absolutely correct.
But I would bet there's a way for Hillary to stay out of this guy's crosshairs by doing more in school and stuff, and I'm not sure if she's willing to do that. Let's talk to Jessica, who's 15. Jessica?
Hello.
What's up?
I was calling. Oh, by the way, you guys rock. I've been with my boyfriend for about 3 years, and he's been cheating on me off and on, and I just accepted it.
How old is this guy?
He's 16. He's
year older. Since he was 13 and you were 12.
Yeah.
And by cheating, what do you mean?
Well, he'd, like, go and kiss other girls and,
Well, you know how it is. You marry, you get hooked up with a chick at 12, but then by 15, they're looking a little worn a little bit. I mean, by 15, I mean, in today's society with all the pressures, a lot of staring at the video screens and things like that, I mean, nothing a little cosmetic surgery couldn't clean up, but I understand when a man strays.
Yeah, I didn't really mind or anything.
Sure.
Most of my friends are like, oh, my God, you should break up with him. I'm like, no.
No, he's looking for a younger chick. Let's find a nice 11-year-old.
Why don't you break up with him?
Well, I didn't. See, the thing is, he broke up with me, and that's what threw me off. He's been cheating on me for so long, and then he says, oh, I feel bad about it. Oh, now I need to break up.
Yeah, Jessica, the reason he was cheating, though, is because he needed to break up, just didn't know how.
But see, the thing is, like, he did that a few months ago, and now, like, this month he called me back, and he said, we hooked up again. And now I'm confused because I don't want to do it anymore.
Just break up.
Get rid of him.
You guys have been going together for too long.
I've tried to say it, and I really don't know.
You just got
to
not go anywhere with him, not meet up with him.
He's an idiot, this guy.
Yeah, he's
how old is he?
16.
He's young.
He's taking advantage of you, too. Really is.
Yeah,
is your dad around?
Huh?
Did your dad cheat on your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
She just accepts it. It's like, it's okay. It's what guys do.
That's what the guy that loves the woman does. He's like one of my best friends.
No, Jessica, don't do it. Well, this one guy's not your friend.
Best friend. Yeah. He's an idiot.
He's a despicable asshole.
Thank you, Drew. Find yourself some. Do you like girls?
What?
Do you like girls?
No.
You don't like them as friends?
Well, I go to all-girls Catholic school, so I try to stay as far away from that subject as possible.
Is being friends with the girls?
I'm friends and all, but not.
You gotta need some good friends.
Get some friends.
You really do. Yeah.
Well, see, kids don't really like me that much.
Why?
They think that I'm weird because I like Spawn, which is a comic book character. And nobody likes comic books. I don't know. They treat me as sort of a tomboy. I never wear the tight clothes that they wear.
Don't you guys wear uniforms?
Yeah, but you know I have like free dress and.
They have free dress day.
What city are you in?
Huh?
What city are you in?
San Francisco.
What's free? What do you get to do on free dress day?
I just wear casual clothes.
Is that once a week?
If we're lucky. We don't really get a lot of free dress. It's pretty strict.
All right. Well, so you're wearing the same uniform everyone else is wearing all the time. So no one likes you because you don't dress slutty?
Well, yeah, practically.
Yeah, except
the guys wear clothes two sizes too big, and the girls wear two sizes too small.
Yeah, all right, but you get the free dress thing three times a year. How do they know? You know what I'm saying? You got a uniform on most of the time.
People judge. I mean, I
know. All right.
Yeah.
Look, hey, Jessica.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest with you for a second. They probably don't like you because that's what you're putting off. You're a pain in the ass, right? You're worried about everyone judging you. You're walking around angry all the time.
And
you're getting what you put out there.
Jessica, people really don't care.
People don't care. If you think people are walking around going, she wears baggy clothes, let's get her.
I don't really.
Yeah, you don't care. Yeah, that's right. You don't care about anyone. You're angry. So who are you angry at? The girls at school?
No, I'm not angry at them.
Yeah, you are.
Confused.
All right, but look, you're not going to have any friends if you're sort of pissed off all the time.
Yeah.
And you're putting it out there. Hey, I don't know. I got a chip on my shoulder with this, but I am tired of everybody being a pain in the ass and acting antisocial and then complaining that society has shunned them somehow. Everybody does this. Everyone is so eager to categorize. Everybody, these girls want to get together. They want to kiss my ass. Just act nice and make friends, everybody. The people that don't have friends don't deserve friends. They don't act like it. You got to keep it up. You got to look people in the eye once in a while. You got to be friendly to people.
Yep.
You can't be antisocial. You can't look like a dog that no one wants to pet.
Yeah.
That's what people look like. That their tail's tucked weird. They walk sideways. They're greasy. And then they're pissed off that no one comes up to them and wants to play with them.
Yeah.
That's what you're putting out. And you're angry at your dad. Maybe you're angry at your mom. Maybe you're angry at whoever. And you're bringing it to school. And magically, there's no friends. Everybody has to get over that somehow. I know you're all hurt and you're all angry, but all you're doing is making it worse for yourself when you just drag that everywhere you go. You drag it to school, you drag it to work, and then people start beating up on you.
There you go.
Physically and verbally. You guys need friends. Everyone needs friends.
Yeah.
You screwed up chicks that have one boyfriend who's an a-hole and you have zero friends, you're screwed. I mean, that's all you have. Drew, you had no friends in high school, right?
None, zero.
Great. See? Jack or Jake?
Yeah, Jake.
You're 21?
Yeah. My question, well, first of all, the man show is awesome.
Great.
Crane cakers, nah, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
That's that.
No, to hang up on him. He made fun of my other TV show. It's not that I have a thin skin. It's I'll do it if people do it to the guests, too. Am I right?
Yeah, well, the thing is, really, do you have to?
I mean, what is your motivation?
Right. What's the motivation?
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! Yay! I want to go to Hawaii.
It's a little crank yankers. Hey, Jake?
Yeah.
You can hang up. All right.
Can I ask my question?
No. No.
Okay.
No. You're rude. I'm hanging up on him. Jack?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, you're 35. What's up?
First off, I just want to say that you and Dr. Drew, you guys rock, and even if the world's dumbest callers, for every one person you answer on the air, you're helping hundreds of people at home that are too dumb to call.
Thanks. What do you got, a parakeet?
Cockatiels. I know you're a bird.
God, do I hate birds. So worthless, those animals. I can get a shotgun and get all those crows around my house.
If Alanis can cover her ears, I have a really small penis.
Oh, she didn't catch him in time.
Okay.
She heard that.
So she knows.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Dr. Drew any modern corrective surgeries there might be. We're talking, I mean, abnormally small. I've been to the clinic, the fertility clinic.
Hold on. Put a towel over the cage. Well, yeah, it's becoming surreal. You talking about your pecker and these birds chirping like they're trying to warn you there's a fire or something in the background.
Don't talk about your dork. Don't do it.
Oh, no, he's talking about his dork.
Sorry about that.
Birds are so worth it. And then you try to get them out of the cage. They bite you, right?
No, these guys, they're out of the cage all the time. They like to be out.
Well, sure they do.
Yep.
I'm open the front door and put them out in the yard, would you? They won't go anywhere.
Are you there?
Yep.
All right. Could you trust them to go out in the yard?
They used to be out in the yard, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't fly away?
No, their wings were clipped.
All right, put them out.
Well, their wings are clipped now. Now they'll fly away. So
I have the cat watch them. Do the wings grow back?
Wing feathers grow back, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's weird when you're clipping wings and nails and stuff on your pets. It feels a little intrusive to me.
Invasive.
Yeah. All right.
Back to my penis.
Yeah, let's get back to your penis. You know what else you could do, really, for your birds? You don't have to clip their wings. You just sew a magnet into them. So if they get too far away, you just turn on the electromagnet and you suck them right back home.
Right back home.
It's less humiliating for the birds.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Go ahead, Jack. Small penis. Sorry, buddy.
And you said you went to a fertility clinic?
Yeah. Yep.
And what did they tell you?
Well, at that point, there was nothing I could do aside from artificial insemination.
When was that?
That was 3 years ago.
Ooh, you mean your penis was so small that you couldn't inseminate?
Yep.
You couldn't insert.
Inseminate?
Is it insert,
let alone inseminate.
Mm. You have functions normally, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How big are we talking about here?
How big? Inch and a half. Erect.
Inch and a half erect.
Yep.
Is it also small in girth, too?
Yep. Yeah.
It's thick as a paint can, Drew. It's just an inch and a half. Looks like a hubcap.
Yeah. Mushroom.
It's in proportion, right?
Yep, it's in proportion, but it's very small.
And they told you that would not be able to cause a pregnancy.
Well, I've had girlfriends, and I mean, I haven't been able to perform intravision.
Mm-hmm. What about oral sex?
Oral sex is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, it's not a problem for them, but...
And you ejaculate normally, that sort of thing?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. I could see it, though, being a problem to them. Like if you're trying to... if you're getting up to plate and they gave you like a bat to swing the size of a soup spoon or something, it would be weird. Like, it would throw your game off, you know? Like, I don't think I could perform oral on a guy, you know, if it had a chapstick-sized penis.
That's the vision I'm going to be taking to...
Yeah, close your eyes.
Home with me.
Yeah. All right, Drew, have we ever had this call?
No. Interesting.
And I've
listened for 7 or 8 years, and I've...
Completely believe it, yeah. You know what's beauty? You know what's beautiful about the birds, though, Jack? They don't judge.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't know. They don't judge. That's what I love about birds. So this is an interesting question.
Why are you looking for means other than artificial insemination?
Well, people don't say it's a problem, but I feel in my heart it's been a problem in the past with...
Relationships?
Relationships, yeah.
Really? And you sure it's not just you?
No.
Well, I don't think so.
What about the birds?
We've talked about two women in the past that I've been engaged to one of them and had a really serious relationship with the other one, and we talked about children and stuff, and the question just came down to, well, what are we going to do? I want to have a child naturally, and...
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a peer counselor, or youth counselor.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You doing all right?
Well, I'm suffering from depression.
Yeah. Well, I can see why, but listen, Jack, I don't mean to make fun of you, but, you know, it's part of my job.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So, first thing you need to do is sue your parents. That's what I would do. I'm thinking about suing my parents anyway, and I have a medium penis. Second thing, I think you're going to have to find a woman that's...
That loves you.
Yeah, that loves you and maybe is not so in love with guys. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, certainly not in love with penises.
Doesn't want the pressure, pressure of the phallus hanging over the relationship. Three, you're going to have to, triple down on the oral sex.
Yeah.
I mean, you are going to... You're going to have to become... Yeah, your tongue's going to have to be like a gecko's. Do you understand?
And then what is... if you have someone with whom the relationship is working... Why should your fertility problem be somehow a deal breaker in the relationship? Lots of couples have fertility issues. This is one that's very easy to overcome with basically a turkey baster. That's basically how it works.
You could do it at home.
And it's not a big deal if she otherwise is happy with the relationship.
That's in theory, yeah, but this has been called the deal breaker. I mean, whether it is or not.
Yeah, I understand, but it is with those people.
Yeah,
theoretically.
And there's implications, though. They're thinking, well, what if I have a son? Is he going to be like this? Yeah. And what about that, Drew?
I don't know of any...
No data to support that?
No.
All right.
My other family members are hung like bears. I mean...
Well, really?
That's nice. Yeah.
That's got to be great around Thanksgiving. You guys all taking a leak at the same time. All right, what about when you go to the bathroom? You have to use the sink?
I have to sit down.
You sit down because you don't have no dangle, right?
No dangle.
It'll go straight out.
But kids don't.
Take a,
I'm circumcised. Push the cap
Yeah?
I mean...
It's just a camp, right?
Yeah, and it sort of goes, you know, gets overlapped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you got just a camp, just a thimble there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what?
I don't have a stream.
Are you big? Are you big man or you overweight? 6'5".
How are you weight?
6'5"?
6'5", 205, 202, something like that.
You know what? You know where the real money is for you, Jack? And I swear to God, I'd pay $100 just to walk around with me at the Y. You know what I mean? Just stand next to me, we'll just walk nude, we'll shoot a game of pool. We'll just, the relative penis thing.
Yep.
Like, how good would I feel about myself? Jack, I know it sounds humiliating, but that's where the money really is.
So, celebrity
counseling.
Celebrity penis double?
Well, it doesn't have to be celebrities, captains of industry, yeah. Japanese businessmen, yeah. Guys of this nature.
Guys that have penis issues.
Look, any guy who's gotten out of the shower at the Y and had some guy with an elephant dork hanging next to him has looked at their own, and relatively felt bad. But it's great when some guy with just a cap comes walking by. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You can just keep him with you. Have your cap man with you.
I have him with me, but I could rent him out to other celebrity friends who had to go to the gym. I'm going to look into this. All right. So what's he got to do? What about a...
Steam room companions.
What about steam buddies?
Steam buddies.
And what about surgery?
I don't know of any surgery to correct this.
But what about putting a dent into it? I mean, if he could get an inch, he'd get 75% growth.
Maybe
you know what I mean?
Some girth even. Maybe that would be...
I don't know what what's the girth going to do for you? I think he's looking for some... I think he's got to consult a plastic surgeon.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if there's any way to lengthen things, though.
All right. I've talked to plastic surgeons.
They can lengthen it?
Yeah. Right. They do, because they... Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Talk to a plastic surgeon, and if you will find a woman, and she will definitely love you.
Definitely.
That you will know. That's right. Alanis Morissette is in studio tonight. Take a break. We'll be right back. Buddy, we're back. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Alanis Morissette has joined us in the studio tonight. And we are going to hear something off of Feast on Scraps, which is her next CD, which is out on the 10th of this month, December. And it also has a substantial DVD that comes with it. And the thing that's kind of nice is you don't really have to change the CD package at all to get the DVD in there, do you?
Right.
I mean, it's no thicker, is it?
It's amazing, huh?
It's exactly the same. Is your mic on?
You flip
there
it.
There
you go.
There you go.
See this? Yep. Got the CD on the top and then into the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
We will hear something off that. I think we'll take one call and then we'll hear a song. Let's talk to Suzanne. Suzanne?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yep.
What's up?
I'm calling because when I have sex with my boyfriend, like, it takes him, like, a long time to come. And... like, sometimes, mostly, usually, he never does.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm talking, like, over an hour.
How long would you like it to go?
You know, it's really easy for me. I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's nice, but, you know.
Most women, after about 10 minutes, it's not so good.
No, I mean, I'm
no, mostly 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's about it. It's ouch after that.
Oh, no. It's fun, you know, but... but I feel bad. Like, I really want him to enjoy it, too, you know?
Is it, do you feel responsible in some way?
Yeah, well, he doesn't make me feel that way, but afterwards I always feel like, you know, I'm, like, all relaxed, and he's, like, still, you know?
Yeah. How is he able to do his thing?
I don't know. He said it's always been that way, like, even when he's on his own, like, sometimes he gets tired.
Is he on any medication?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Does he have birds?
No.
It's my new question now. Forget about molestation. What about birds? And it says he takes him an hour when he's on his own?
Well, I don't know how long it takes. He says sometimes he just gets too tired and he just doesn't.
Where did you read it takes an hour when he's on his own?
She said sometimes
it takes a long
time.
Together.
It takes a long time and then he just sort of can't finish.
He
gets too tired.
Gives up. But, you know, he stays hard, like, and he says the harder he gets, the harder it is to come.
Hmm. Well, there is such a thing. It's just, he needs to find sort of a technique for getting there quicker.
So it's not like some sort of dysfunction. Or
no, some, it's just
well,
his rhythm.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's a type of it, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Right.
And most common cause of this actually is medication.
Oh, yeah?
He's on nothing.
No.
I'm sure of that.
I mean, okay, I haven't asked him, but I spent, like, periods of days with him.
And he's always been this way, according to him?
Yeah, he said it's always been like that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't bother him, but, you know, it kind of bothers me.
Yeah. How does he respond to oral sex?
The same thing, like, oh, I get tired, you know?
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't trust this guy. We couldn't hang out.
To find out, he may be, some guys that have this problem sort of been masturbating excessively, too, and they can back off
no,
a little bit sometimes.
No,
because he said when he does it himself, it takes a long time.
Guys who masturbate excessively can get one off. They're used to it.
Yeah.
This is a common
that's
drill
what I
for
do,
them.
Like, I feel like the times that it's happened have been, like, really special, like new underwear type situations. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And, like, I don't know how I can, like, up the ante anymore, like, after a certain point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Alanis, would that screw you up? I mean, if you had a guy, I mean, he was into you, but he didn't really have the physical manifestation of it.
Well, you said it doesn't bother him? I mean,
no.
It bothers her, though,
excited,
I think.
He's excited. You know what I mean? Like, I know that he's attracted to me and everything. It's just, there's no shared experience, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's some grief involved with that one.
Yeah, you would feel like...
I would feel that I would love for him to experience it, definitely.
Yeah, like, no matter how big a problem you knew this was for him, you would take some responsibility somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, women do that.
But if you found out his past, that he's had this experience, you know, for a long time, and, you know, it's easier to take less, you know, less personally.
Right.
It's always great when you get in these conversations, because they're like, oh, yeah, Becky, first year out of high school. Banged the bejesus out of the bitch for like 2 hours. Nothing. Nothing.
Right.
69. Everything. You end up getting into these conversations, and then it ends up taking a turn for the weird. You love this guy, right?
Yeah.
How long you been with him?
It's like 5 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you getting serious? Thinking about marriage and stuff?
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
All right. Mm. Well, this is... this is your little cross to bear.
Yeah, I mean, we heard about a guy 15 minutes ago that had a bigger, smaller cross to bear, but a bigger problem.
I'm going to go home and attempt to kiss my penis now after these. I've been doing it, attempting this for a long time, but tonight I really am because, all you guys out there with your average functioning penises after the last two calls we had should really just, like I said, kiss it. All right, Suzanne. Hey, all right. This is his thing. He's happy. Yeah, how often do you guys make love?
A couple times a week.
So he's into you.
Yeah.
Okay. He's into you, and this is him. I mean, we give this explanation to men a lot about women.
It's just, that's them.
Yeah. A lot of women don't have an orgasm through intercourse, and especially younger women. We talk to them, and it's like, hey, she enjoys it. She's there. She's with you. You're being intimate. That's just her thing. It's a little different for a guy, but I gave give the same speech to Suzanne.
Ask him if he's on any medication, too.
Really?
Yeah.
See, Drew, being a man of great passion, can almost not accept this, even as a physician, right?
No, you can accept
it. I mean,
it.
You cannot accept
it's just
this, can you?
The odds are, from this kind of problem, medication is there, and so just check it out.
But is there any correction that could be made surgically? I mean,
no.
The guy has it.
No.
World-class erection for an hour.
Good time.
Can't auger something out, drop a snake in somewhere,
no.
Little plaque built up somewhere.
No.
No rooter, no nothing?
Nothing like that.
There's some men who attempt to achieve that through tantric ways. So,
yeah.
You know, some men aspire to be able to make
yeah,
love
but,
for an hour.
But they
want
to be able to go when they want to go. It's just they don't want to go for an hour.
They're choosing not to go.
Yeah, this guy can't go for an hour.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like he's upset by that.
I could work with this guy. I think I could. You give me one weekend.
With him.
You give me a cabin, a VCR, a Taboo 2, a weekend, and about 600 brawny towels. And I think I could work this out with this guy. I'm almost positive I could. All right, I'm going to tell you guys the details of my plan while we listen to the
Alanis
Morissette song.
I'm just excited.
Another great
delighted.
Segue, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Every lead into
like
Alanis song.
Best segues.
Yeah.
This one's called Bent for You.
You're unsure.
Yeah. It's Alanis Morissette. New CD is out on the 10th of this month, which also has a full-length DVD that is within the jacket of the CD. And I think we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. And Drew, who are we going to talk to?
Elizabeth. She's 20.
Divorcing her husband and having second thoughts.
Right.
Wants to know where to stay or go. She's 20 and getting a divorce. Mm. We'll talk to her after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam, Dr. Drew, and Alanis Morissette all in the studio tonight. Alanis's CD, Feast on Scraps, is coming out on the 10th of December along with the DVD. Let's get through a few more calls here.
It's funny that this would be called Feast on Scraps. I was talking to my kids the other night, and our dogs were eating everything. I said, we'll never have any scraps here. And they were like, scraps? I guess it's not a word that...
Oh, they didn't know?
Yeah.
What do they know? Leftovers?
This is not a word that we commonly use, I guess. You don't think about it, but it's not a commonly used.
Yeah, you don't hear people talking about table scraps.
Yeah, not anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't... My kids never heard the word. You can keep the name. You don't have to change the CD name or anything.
I'll be right back.
I think it still works. I'm just saying.
Feast on leftovers.
Yeah, like I think if you, well, that's the other thing. Like too, like you have Thanksgiving. You don't have Thanksgiving scrap. You don't have table scraps anymore. You just have
unless
leftover turkey.
Unless you're giving it to the dog.
Oh, then it becomes a scrap. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was doing, feeding the dog scraps, and they were like, wow, couldn't process it.
But then also like. If you go to Taco Bell or Kentucky Fried Chicken, you don't have scraps.
No.
Where do you have scraps? Someone's got to cook up like a pot roast to get scraps? You got to get scrap from somewhere.
It's a word that has faded. It's a word that...
Yeah, it was like in the musical Oliver, you would hear them getting scraps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be American food, doesn't it?
It's another word that needs to be...
There's no scraps in Thai food, is there?
No, no
Chinese scraps, really. No sushi scraps, no Mexican scraps.
Scraps implies lots of different pieces of...
You got to get some pieces of beef and start cutting around parts you don't like, and then that becomes a part where it's too good to throw away, but not good enough to eat.
Right.
All right. Look up scrap in the dictionary, Drew. Get on that, buddy. Hustle up now. Elizabeth?
Yes.
When's the last time you worked scraps into a sentence?
Actually, last week I was talking about giving some scraps to my dog.
Yeah, the dog.
It's a dog thing.
It's a dog thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So leftovers become scraps when you decide to give them to your dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you wouldn't feed your dog perfectly good leftovers, but you would toss them scraps.
That's right.
All right. You're 20. What's up?
Interesting, a picture of the dog on the same page. Fragments of discarded or leftover food.
Really?
Wow. Yep, scrap. Huh.
I'll tell you what, you know, that's why I keep doing this show. Because you always learn.
Vocabulary.
Yeah. Now you know that scraps are leftover food.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
A small detached piece, a scrap of paper.
All right.
Based on pieces of paper.
That's enough. Elizabeth, go ahead.
My main question pretty much is, should I go ahead and stay married to him?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Divorce him.
You guys have a kid?
Yeah, I got pregnant when I was 18, and that's the main reason that I got married to him.
Uh-huh. So why do you want to get divorced? You just felt like there was never a bond?
Well, there used to be, but he's pretty much changed. He's not the same guy that I thought the guy that I thought I married.
How has he changed?
He's like, he doesn't respect me anymore. He doesn't, he pretty much doesn't even look at me anymore.
Well, what's he doing? Is he cheating on you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he might be, if he is, I don't know it.
What do you mean he doesn't look at you anymore? What do you mean?
He just, the only time he pretty much even looks my way is if he wants to have sex.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's bad. Well, that's right.
How often does he do that?
Doggone right, that's bad.
Well, we haven't had sex in a couple months because we've been separated.
Why have you been separated?
Because I was thinking about getting a divorce.
Okay, and when he was sort of coming after you sexually, how often was he doing that?
Once or twice a month.
So rarely. And the rest of the time you guys just weren't even connecting, communicating?
Well, we'd go out all the time, but and we'd seem more like friends than like a partners.
All right, so you got married young. You only got married because you got pregnant. And maybe this wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
All right. Sad. But, what do you think he would do about it if he wanted divorce?
Right now, he's pretty much in denial. He thinks that everything's just fine, you know. I mean, I've told him that I want to get a divorce, but he's going on and acting like there's nothing wrong, even though we're not even living in the same house.
What's he do for a living?
He draws supplemental security, and that's another reason.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Hold on. But anytime you say, you turn that down, you idiot. Anytime you say to someone, what's your husband do for a living, and he start with, he draws.
Yeah.
Unless they're talking about, at Disneyland, caricatures of nine-year-olds on skateboards with the hearts coming from their head.
You mean he's disabled in some way?
A government check.
Why?
I don't even know.
So you don't even know who this guy is.
What do you mean you don't know? You don't know? Your husband doesn't work. He gets a check from the government each month. You don't know why?
Yeah, I've asked him, and he says he doesn't know. I asked his parents, and they said something like his mental incapabilities or something, but he's perfectly fine.
No, he's not. He wouldn't be getting the check if he were. Maybe he's got psychiatric illness that is so severe.
Maybe he's crazy like a fox, though, getting money from the government each month without working.
But he's so impaired that he can't work. And you think
he can work, though. He has worked. Because before we got married, he worked for, like, a whole year.
Yeah, construction, I'll bet. Work with nothing but retards when did construction. So, all right,
so
break up. Okay, listen, break up with him, then. You're not that into him. Excuse you, Drew. I'd rather sneeze my coffee.
Sorry.
You're not that into the guy.
I don't even know who he is. Okay. It's bizarre.
Well, listen, this is a great relationship. You say, honey, why aren't you working? What is this check you're getting for the government each month? And he answers with, I don't know. And you say,
you accept that.
All righty.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it's, mom, dad said it's some mental disabilities or something. Do you have mental disabilities?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm working.
But it's a form of mental disability, not knowing your husband has a mental disability, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of.
I can make that argument. All right, Elizabeth, don't screw your kid up and break up with the guy. You're not into him. You never were.
Yeah.
And I don't trust him. I don't like these guys who draw things. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, but take care of your kid and don't have any more for a while.
Okay.
And look, don't get hooked up with a new guy too fast.
Okay.
And watch out with this new guy. I don't trust him around your kid. Okay?
Any guy you would be attracted
to. Yeah, no guys named Kurt or Dirk.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Or even Derek. All right. We really need Dirk and Derek. We could just come up and just settle on one. We got to have Dirk and Derek. They don't have that in Canada, do they? They would have one or the other, right?
Derek.
They'd have Derek. Mm-hmm. There's no Dirks.
No Dirks.
They're not idiots over there. Okay. What? You want to take another call?
No, we're getting time to break.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Lance Morissette's here. Take a quick break. Be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Alanis Morissette for coming in here tonight. It was delightful to meet you, Alanis.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Come back anytime you like. You're here in town quite a bit. Come pay us a visit.
Cool.
You'd enjoy it. Feast on Scraps is the name of the CD. Also has the DVD in there, and it's coming out in a short 4 days from now on December 10th. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones and coffee.
You don't laugh at me.
All week long. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job on the phones. And mini producer, assistant to the fifth power,
Biatch.
Lauren, for not getting us two goddamn envelopes and giving us all our tickets and laminates and the same effing thing. How dare she? And producer Anne for doing a great job with the bookings of the big names like Alanis Morissette and the production of the show. And, of course, the magic-fingered one, Engineer Anderson.
No ass clown.
Kelly Osborne coming in next week.
Kelly Osborne next week. And doing a great job Oh, Drew, you screwed me all up now.
Sorry. Anyway, who cares? Get that rhythm going.
Let's just go home, all right?
All right, let's
go. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I have a really small penis.
How big are we talking about here?
How big? Inch and a half. Okay. Correct.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.